Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thank you, Anna. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast. As we record this episode, we're sequestered at home in the middle of the 2020 coronavirus pandemic. It's been several weeks now with tight travel restrictions and social distancing requirements. It's driving us nuts. But the one thing that I keep hearing from people is that their fear, their anxiety, in some cases I think depression, with all of the unknowns that we're facing, it's greatly impeded their prayer life. More than one pastor and other friends have confided in me that they just don't know how to pray right now, or they feel like, well, as one person said, they feel like their prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Today's podcast is a special edition of The Minister's Friend. I want to offer some guidance to make your prayer, even in these tough times, solid and fruitful. Several years ago, I was asked to preach on the Lord's Prayer from the Gospel of Luke while visiting the Upper Midwest. Today's episode is that message. I'll have some follow-up thoughts when we get back together at the end, but for now, I commend this lesson to you. And in case you hadn't noticed, this week's episode is longer than our typical podcast. I'm choosing to do this on purpose in an uninterrupted format. I hope you find it helpful. Come with me to Woodbury Community Church in Woodbury, Minnesota, and let's talk about prayer. Thank you so much. It's good to be here with you. It's good to be back in the land of Caribou Coffee. Amen, Lauren? When I told Brian I was coming up, he asked if I would jump in the pulpit and preach this morning, and so I'm excited to do that. You're going through the Gospel of Luke, and you happen to be on one of my favorite passages. Those of you who've known me for a while know that one of my passions is intercessory prayer, and one of my favorite passages is the Lord's Prayer. When I teach on it, and I've taught on it here before, I usually do it out of the Gospel of Matthew. Today we're looking at the Gospel of Luke. But there's some important nuances, and frankly, Jesus gives some commentary in Luke that doesn't show up in Matthew, and so this is going to be a neat time together. Let's take a look at the scripture, and then we'll pray. Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me, and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed, and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you that even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time in your word, and we pray for your anointing here this morning. Lord, I pray that you will prepare me and wash me again by your Holy Spirit and enable me to be the vessel that you desire me to be. And you'll do the same for these, your children here in the sanctuary, those that are watching online and even through the media ministry later. Lord, that they would not just hear a sermon, but that these would be from your word, the words of life. And we would learn and apply and bear fruit in what we gather this morning. Holy Spirit, you be our guide, you be our teacher, we pray. For the glory of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, you know, in almost 30 years of ministry, one of the things that I hear more often than almost anything else when people come to me as a pastor and ask questions is, or things that they say, is this idea that they don't know how to pray. You know, I'll ask somebody to pray about something and say, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to pray. Nobody's ever taught me how to pray. And that's really sad, because what we call the Lord's Prayer is actually the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer, if you want to be technically accurate, the Lord's Prayer is John 17. That's the prayer that Jesus actually prayed. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11 is what he taught the disciples to pray. And in Luke 11, we learn that he actually taught this lesson in response to that question. They have watched Jesus get away with the Father and pray, and then they've seen him come out of there with his marching orders and empowered so that he can heal the sick and raise the dead. And they're thinking, we want a taste of that. We want to be able to pray like that. And so one of the disciples, it doesn't say who, I've always assumed it was Peter, but one of the disciples comes to Jesus and says, Lord, teach us how to do that. John taught his disciples how to pray. You teach us how to do that. And Jesus says, okay, when you pray, here's what you do. And we're going to go through an outline that the Lord gives us. But an introduction, how many of you recognize this character? I should not admit to you what I'm about to say, but one of my favorite shows is The Big Bang Theory. That and Everybody Loves Raymond will get me laughing more than just about anything else. I love those two shows. And this is, of course, Sheldon. How many of you are willing to admit here in church that you watch The Big Bang Theory? Okay, so the rest of you aren't going to admit it. But anyway, those of you that watch The Big Bang Theory with any kind of regularity, and you see him in this position, if I do this, what comes next? There, you got it. You got it. Whenever Sheldon wants to get a hold of Penny, the neighbor across the hall, it's Penny, 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 until she opens the door. Ironically, this is exactly what Jesus teaches us to do in prayer. And I'm going to show it to you today. Sheldon Cooper is an illustration for us, ironically, of prayer. This outline that Jesus gives us is an important one, and it would probably be helpful if you have your Bibles with you to open up into Luke chapter 11 so you can kind of follow along. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. And if you have a little footnote there, a lot of the manuscripts, just like in Matthew's version, it says, Father in heaven. The first thing that Jesus teaches his disciples to do is to begin with the proper posture of prayer. I am guilty. In my mornings when I get up, and I get up early in the morning, and I do devotions with Lauren and Megan, we do that together, and then I have my own time later after I run, and I am guilty because my schedule is so tight and so packed that I get to there, I do my Bible reading like I should, and then when I go to prayer, I get out my laundry list and I just start going through all those things on my list as if God is my servant rather than the other way around. How many of you do that? Just start rattling off your list of all the things that you want. And Jesus says to us, just like he said to his disciples, whoa, hold the phone, cowboy. That's not how you enter in to the Father's presence. He says, here's how you pray. You stop and you say, Father in heaven. We stop and we recognize. We begin by recognizing to whom it is we pray. We begin by realizing we're entering into, really, for all intents and purposes, we're entering into the Holy of Holies. By invitation, we're allowed, but it's still the Holy of Holies. That doesn't change. We're entering into the Ancient of Days presence. And so we begin with the proper posture of prayer. Get our heart ready and realize to whom we are praying. And then, if we enter into the presence of God correctly and our mind is now attached and we're engaged with the Lord, the next thing that Jesus shows us, he says, hallowed be thy name. Then the only possible response when you come into the presence of God is worship. And so we enter, literally enter into his presence through worship. Just like Isaiah, when he experienced the presence of the Lord, he fell to his face and said, woe is me, I am undone, for my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. Just like the Apostle John, when he's writing his Apocalypse, he sees an angel. It's an angel, a created being, and he falls to his feet in worship. And the angel says, don't do that. Don't do that. Worship Jesus and Jesus only. Well, if an angel is so holy and glorious that it would drive John to his knees, if we're coming into the presence of the Ancient of Days, God himself, then we enter in through worship. He then uses this phrase, your kingdom come. And those of you that remember when I taught on this last time, you'll remember that word kingdom is not understood well in America today. Because the word kingdom to us in the English language is the realm or the area that the king rules, right? We hear the United Kingdom and you think of England or Scotland or Ireland. You think of the land over which the king rules, or in this case, the queen. But the word kingdom in the New Testament era actually meant the reign of the king, not the realm of the king. It's about dominion. And so what Jesus is teaching us here is as we pray, he says, you say, thy kingdom come. You look to the Lord, you're in his presence, you've entered into worship, and now in an attitude of worship with your heart bowed before the Lord, you say, your rule and reign come over me. In other words, I am willingly right now choosing to submit to your dominion, Father. And that's one of the reasons why I usually teach this out of Matthew's gospel, because Matthew follows that up with a phrase, thy will be done. If you're going to submit to the Father, then whatever he tells you to do, guess what? You're going to do. And Jesus teaches us to have that heart. Notice we haven't made a single request yet. We're just getting ourselves ready to go before the Lord in prayer. So, it begins with a proper posture. We recognize who he is. We enter through worship. And then we submit our hearts to his lordship. Jesus is Lord. He is master. Not by lip service, but that our heart now is fully submissive to him. Then we get to ask. We get to make our petitions. But notice how Jesus teaches us to ask. Give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need for today. Now, I don't know about you. I like to have tomorrow figured out. I like to have next week figured out. I'd like to have the rest of my life mapped out on a calendar, actually. You know? Anybody else like that? But God has always taught throughout the ages, he wants his people to be fully, completely, and consistently dependent on him. Think of the manna in the desert. How much manna did he give them each day? One day's worth. Why? Because they always had to come back to him to get it. And Jesus' prayer teaches us the same thing. I know I can pray for what's coming up in the weeks ahead, but the primary requests are for today. We will pray about tomorrow, tomorrow. Then we move on and invoke forgiveness. And notice when Jesus teaches on prayer, every time he teaches on forgiveness, it's two sides of a coin, always taken together. Father, you forgive me as I'm forgiving all these other people around me. It is completely inappropriate for a follower of Jesus, knowing the price he paid to purchase our forgiveness, for us to request that God would forgive us when we are unwilling to forgive other people around us. Totally inappropriate. It is the height of hypocrisy to Jesus for a Christian who's been washed by his blood to harbor unforgiveness in our hearts. And so the prayer is always twofold. Father, yes, I desperately need your forgiveness. Forgive me as I am forgiving those others around me. And then the last part, lead us not into temptation, is a plea for divine protection. Lord, keep us safe. This is an outline that Jesus gives us to know how to pray. But now Jesus goes on and he gives us some additional information that colors in, that provides a more beautiful picture of what this prayer is like. And in verses 5-8, he gives this parable about a guy who comes knocking on the door at midnight, asking for bread. And what we don't understand oftentimes as Gentiles in 2016 is what that meant to the first century culture Jew. It was a totally different understanding, because in first century Judaism, if you had a visitor come to your house to stay, you were expected by the culture to make sure that they had plenty of food, water, and a clean bed for them to sleep in your house. It was just expected. And so if somebody came unexpectedly to your house and you didn't have food, of course you're going to go to a friend's house and ask for food, because it is more important to feed the guest than to be embarrassed by asking your friend at midnight for bread. You follow? That was the culture. That was normal in that culture. And so Jesus is using something here to make a point. And he's saying that we are just like that. We are to be so bold in going to the Lord. We are to be so audacious. I love that word, audacity. And what he's teaching us here is, you know, God's door to the believer is never locked. He's not asleep. He's not going to do that to us, but that's the point. Jesus is saying, if you do this to your friend and it's expected and part of the culture, how much more when you go to dad? And you've got a request that may be untimely. It may be embarrassing. It may be out of place. And yet, he's going to respond, because he's the Heavenly Father. So the first thing that Jesus teaches us is to be bold in our prayers. The second thing he teaches us is to be persistent in our prayers. And here's another place where the English language doesn't help us out a whole lot. Because in verses 9 and 10, the words that Jesus uses are words of continuous action. The language, the grammar there in the Greek language doesn't look the same as it does in English. So let me read these verses to you the way they actually come out in the Greek. Verse 9, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking. Penny, penny, penny. And the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. He who seeks and keeps on seeking finds. And to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Jesus teaches us to be persistent in our prayer life. Don't give up. Third, Jesus teaches us to trust the Father's heart. And I love this illustration because I'm a dad. And it just so happens two of my kids are sitting in the church here today. Jesus looks at me as a sinful daddy and he says, would you be mean to your kids? If your child asked you for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? And my response is, of course not. And then Jesus turns to me and says, okay, well, if you, being a sinful daddy, being in need of a Savior, if you know how to do good things for your kids, how much more the Heavenly Father who has no sin, who isn't evil, Will he do good things and provide the Holy Spirit for his children? And so Jesus builds upon this outline of how to pray with then the spirit of that prayer. That we are to be bold in our prayer. Not haphazard. Not wondering whether he will even listen to us. That we are to be persistent in our prayer, not just pray once and think it's going to be enough. And to trust the Father's heart, even though some of our experience may be, dare I say, even with church people, have not been very trustworthy. As we conclude, I just want to ask you some questions and have you reflect upon how you approach the Father in prayer. When you approach Dad with a capital D, do you prepare your heart for prayer? Or do you rush in? Are you ready to submit your heart in prayer? If it's about his kingdom and his rule and reign, if he speaks to you to uproot your family and sell your house and move to Florida, or something equivalent to that, are you willing to submit? Is your prayer more about your relationship with the Father, which is what prayer always is, first and foremost? Or are you focusing only on the outcomes you want? And the ultimate question, and I actually come back to this often myself, do I trust the Father's heart with my prayers? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for all the gifts that you give us, especially that of salvation and forgiveness. Thank you for your word that instructs us and guides us. Thank you for church families like WCC where we navigate this journey together and we build one another up, help each other when we stumble and allow our iron to sharpen iron for each other. This matter of prayer is important to us because it was very important to you. And so now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you'll take this passage and you will cause it to roll over and over in our minds throughout the week. And that we'll be, in a loving way, haunted by these questions. And forced by your loving Holy Spirit to reckon with the answers so that we can become more engaged and more fruitful. Fill our times of prayer with yourself. Meet us where we are. Help us to always seek our relationship with you before we make a single request. And then, Father, we do pray you'll respond to the needs we bring you. May your anointing be with us every time we pray. And we ask this in the name of King Jesus. Amen.
Over the last few weeks, I've been offering a more in-depth version of this teaching from the Gospel of Matthew on our social media pages. I've also collected those videos all into one place on my website. If you'd like to go deeper on this topic, I would recommend that you take your time and work through those several lessons. In fact, I'm still adding to them. The information that you need to find all that is in today's show notes. In any event, I hope that this teaching today has been helpful to you. Why don't you drop me an email and let me know what you're learning? Next week, we'll begin a brand new series with my dear friends John and Tammy Rissmiller. I've known the Rissmillers for over 25 years. They serve with Pastor to Missionaries, a pastoral care ministry to missionaries all over the globe. We're going to talk about how our local churches can best care for the missionary families we support. That's coming up on The Minister's Friend. We are so grateful that you are in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and other church leaders like you lead their congregations well. If you're being blessed by our ministry, would you please do me a couple of favors? First, would you forward the podcast to your friends? Your personal recommendation to others is the best advertising we could ask for. Second, would you take a moment and give us a 5-star review? This is especially helpful on the Apple platforms. Good reviews move us up the charts and enable us to reach more people with our ministry. Thanks in advance. I'm so glad that you were here for today's episode. I hope it was a blessing to you. Thanks for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!